The members of the council will this morning find before them an interim report from the observation group in Lebanon. The report sets out the complete success with which they have met in their arrangements for inspection all along the Lebanese border. It is my feeling that with the result thus achieved, the observation group is fully equipped to play the part envisaged for it in the total UN effort with its general purpose of ensuring against infiltration and smuggling of arms. I hope, Mr. President, that no later developments will cause a setback and that the observation group will retain its key position.
The cold water treatment by Mr. Hammarskjöld was fortified by the communique from the observer team in Lebanon, which said that it is the only agency working there under the UN mandate and that it sees no need for liaison with non-Lebanese forces now in Lebanon. This was interpreted even by our friends as a rebuff for the United States. The Russians, speaking to those who want independence, play the role of champions of independence. We, speaking for democracy, have not convinced even the democracies of the rightness of our position.
That was Stuart Novins in New York. The Security Council has just adjourned. It will be meeting again this evening at 7:30. Meanwhile, the British have landed in Jordan. We have flown Navy jet fighters over Jordan, as the Pentagon puts it, just to let them know we are there. We have not, however, sent any troops into Jordan. In Lebanon, where we have Marines in the capital city, the first anti-Marine violence developed when a few rebel snipers fired on Marines guarding the Beirut airport. The Marines fired back and the shooting stopped. Elsewhere, reports from Iran state that Soviet troops, tanks, and aircraft are on the move along the Soviet-Iranian border. And Moscow says Russian troops will conduct large-scale exercises along their borders with Iran and Turkey. Back in Lebanon, the French moved some warships into Beirut harbor. Their exact purpose was not known. We now have a fleet of 44 ships in the area, including aircraft carriers, the Saratoga and the Wasp, along with 16 destroyers. We have also deployed all elements of the 1st Airborne Battle Group from West Germany at our Adana Air Base in Turkey. As for Jordan, while our troops stay outside that country, we are involved in a large-scale airlift of petroleum supplies to that country. Ever since the overthrow of King Faisal's Iraqi government has left Jordan without her daily ration of fuel. Our officials say this airlift of fuel will continue as long as necessary. What with this heavy flow of air transport in both Jordan and across the parts of Europe between West Germany and Turkey transporting troops, the United States has run into some trouble with other usually friendly nations. Israel, for one, protests our violating their airspace, and Austria has ordered her fighter planes to protect her airspace from our transport flights between Germany and the Mideast. Our troubles with usually friendly nations don't end in the realm of the physical. At the United Nations, for the first time in recent memory, we're having trouble drumming up support for a United States position. Russia has introduced a resolution before the Security Council urging withdrawal of U.S. troops from Lebanon and British troops from Jordan. We conversely propose that the UN form an international police force to protect both countries. Traditionally, neutral Sweden is considering a resolution of its own to call off activities of the UN observers in Lebanon. Japan, let it be known that she is supporting the United States with reluctance, and some South American countries say they would support our position but clearly do not favor our position. UN Chief Delegate Henry Cabot Lodge spent the afternoon trying to sell the United States position after first making it clear regarding the British-Jordanian action today.
The United States government supports the action of the government of the United Kingdom in responding affirmatively to the urgent appeal of Jordan for assistance in the defense of Jordan's independence and integrity. What is really happening is plain for all to see if we but lift up our eyes. The overthrow of the lawful government of Iraq, beginning with the assassination of the Crown Prince, and which was followed by a wave of assassinations throughout that unhappy country, is one dreadful fact. Then the attempt to subvert and overthrow Jordan, of which we have just heard, is another. And, of course, the effort directed from without to subvert Lebanon is familiar to everyone. that there is in the Middle East a common purpose to take over everywhere, all at once. Clearly, there is a common purpose masterminded from one source. You can read all about it in the Cairo newspapers, or listen to the incessant radio broadcasts from Cairo to other Arab countries. In fact, a prominent Cairo newspaper is openly urging the assassination of President Shamoun. Furthermore, a United Arab Republic ambassador stated Monday that United States aid to the government of Lebanon would mean the assassination of the president, the foreign minister of Lebanon, who, he said, had been condemned to death by an, I quote, Arab nationalist, unquote, with the sentence to be executed following Western intervention. What kind of behavior is that? But that is the kind of thing that we face today. The technical obstacles are not the main point. We face a great, rough, brutal fact. The fact of the fomenting of civil strife by assassins in plain clothes instead of by soldiers in uniform. If the United Nations cannot deal with indirect aggression, the United Nations will break up. But this could surely be the rock on which this organization could founder.
Meanwhile, in Britain, Prime Minister Macmillan managed to beat down a censure resolution against his move to send troops into Jordan. Macmillan said the sole purpose of the maneuver in Jordan was to secure Jordan against either aggression or a coup, such as that which hit Iraq. But Macmillan said there was no plan to send British troops into Iraq. In Washington, British and American officials talked most of the afternoon, and after British Foreign Secretary Selwyn Lloyd met with President Eisenhower and other high-level military and diplomatic officials, a joint communique said there was a close identity of views on moves to preserve the independence of Jordan and Lebanon. Lloyd is continuing the intensive talks with Secretary of State Dulles. The question becomes, what is the opposition doing? We don't know all, of course, but in a very staticky but interesting report somehow gotten out of Cairo, Egypt, we get an idea of the United Arab Republic's reactions from CBS correspondent Frank Kearns.
Cairo Radio is broadcasting a report that Lebanese rebels have captured two American Marines. The report is played up here, second only to news of the United Nations debate. And the semi-official Middle East news agency in Cairo claims that American troops actually clashed with Lebanese rebels today. The shooting, it's charged, took place on Beirut Airport Road. Meantime, the United Arab Republic's Minister of War has just spent 3.5 hours with Russia's Air Force Chief here on an official visit. The acting foreign minister, who also saw the American ambassador today, had a long session with the Soviet ambassador. All sources declined comment on any of these meetings. The ambassadors from India, Indonesia, and Communist China have been handed notes for Nehru, Sukarno, and Chiang Rai, while personal messages from President Nasser. The president himself is due back here sometime tonight or early tomorrow. In foreign circles here expect vigorous rebuttal, perhaps some sort of dramatic action in answer to charges in the United Nations that this country intervened in Jordan. The communist-dominated Afro-Asian Committee's office here is sending cables to its committees throughout Africa and Asia. The office, referring to what it calls the American occupation of Lebanon, the possibility of foreign intervention in Iraq, the Red Painted Group warns that the situation may call for the use of volunteers.
Elsewhere, there were anti-American demonstrations outside our embassies in Moscow, Rome, Calcutta, and just generally in Beijing, Communist China. India is reportedly considering withdrawing her members of the UN Observer Group in Lebanon. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is not calling more draftees than usual, is not calling back reserves, and says it does not consider Russian troop movements significant. The only area in which the emergency session of the UN Security Council could agree today was in the area of adjournment, which they proceeded to agree to do until 2 p.m. Detroit time Monday. Today, three matters were brought to a vote, not a single resolution passing. As a result, the United States has called for an emergency session of the General Assembly. The American move came on the heels of the Security Council's rejection of Russia's demand for the withdrawal of American troops in the Middle East. The vote was 8-1, with two countries, Sweden and Japan, not voting. Russia's vote amounted to a veto and killed that resolution. The Russians then vetoed a U.S. resolution to send an international police force into Lebanon under a U.N. flag. That vote was 9-1. Sweden abstained. The Council also rejected a resolution by Sweden to suspend the activities of the U.N. observation group in Lebanon until further notice. The vote was 9-2. In another matter, the Council did not take any action on the seating of a representative of Iraq's revolutionary regime. Over Russia's opposition, the Council agreed that the credentials of the ousted Iraqi representative were still valid. In Washington, meanwhile, Secretary of State Dulles and British Foreign Minister Selwyn Lloyd held lengthy sessions this afternoon at the State Department. Tonight, their talks will continue, and Sidney Smith, the Canadian Minister for External Affairs, will sit in. Also in Washington, President Eisenhower has summoned 8 congressional leaders of both parties to the White House tonight for a conference on his foreign aid bill. That meeting in the president's study in the executive mansion was set for an hour ago, is still in progress with no report on just what has gone on.